Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors are proud to be independent, just like you. They're owned and operated by lifetime Puebloans, not by any of the giant funeral home chains. This means they only answer to the families they serve, not to outside stockholders. Your independence allows you to select which funeral home you will call at the time of need or when considering a pre-need plan. That same independence allows you to choose a local funeral home where you know your wishes will be followed to the letter. Since 1922, they've worked hard to make a positive difference in the Pueblo community by providing service and care for families of all faiths and ethnic origins. Please call them today. They never use high-pressure sales tactics and will be happy to answer your questions and discuss your options at your convenience at their funeral home or in the privacy of your home. Call Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors today, 719-542-1552. Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors in downtown Pueblo.
Hey there, it's Carly Moore here. This month on Pueblo's podcast, we're highlighting a few of Pueblo's city council members. As we start a new year, we're asking them what their goals are for our city in 2022. Now, we'll chat with a handful of them. Some council members were unable to accommodate our request to interview, but please tune in each Monday this month to hear from different city council members. Thanks so much for listening.
I'm Dave Moore, and this is Pueblo's Podcast. My guest today is City Councilperson Sarah Martinez. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for spending some time with me. And you're a brand new city councilman.
Yes, I got sworn in about a week and a half ago, so I have a whole 9 days underneath my belt.
Nice. Okay. And I'm sure it's kind of a lot in a short amount of time that you're learning and trying to figure out.
Yes, especially for someone new who is a quick learner and does her homework, but it's a little bit like drinking out of a fire hose right now.
Oh, sure. I can imagine. Lots of rules and things to understand and different things like that. What have been some of the new things that you're learning here over the last 9 days?
I spent a good couple weeks on the budget, you know, really just combing the 2022 budget with a fine-tooth comb and meeting with the city clerk and the mayor's office to really, you know, answer a lot of my questions about the budget. So, and the budget is like the size of the first Harry Potter novel. It's that thick.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot of reading on a fun Friday night. So that was a good thing to kind of immerse myself in. And then the next was all around the procedural legislative body that city council is tasked with. So meeting with city clerk's office, different department heads to really understand, okay, what is city council's function after the strong mayoral system? And, you know, really going from there.
Sure. And I was reminded when we started setting this up that there's a sunshine law.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the little nuances that, you know, unless you're like honestly watching city council every single Monday night or going there, those are the nuances that is the fire hose that I'm drinking out of right now.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. All the little details, I can imagine.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, tell our listeners about your background in Pueblo before you became a city councilman.
I was born on the south side of Pueblo about 28 years ago. After graduating high school, I moved away from Pueblo to pursue my undergraduate degrees and my graduate degree. And I moved back about 4 years ago to be closer to family. But I really stayed in Pueblo because I was excited about the so many different things that were going on at the time. So in the past 4 years, I worked at the health department on a state-funded grant for youth substance use prevention. And that's really given me an idea of how systems work and who the players at the table are and, you know, really immersing myself in the community. So that's kind of what's brought me here today, you know, 9 days post swearing in is my love of the community and how government works and thinking that I can improve the systems that we have.
Absolutely. Well, a little side note, your mom and my wife were in Lamaze class together.
Yeah.
Before you were born and before my daughter Carly was born. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. And I feel like I have known Carly since the day I was born. And so it's really cool to kind of come full circle and, you know, share this victory, not just with my family members, but people like you who have a long history with me and my family and who also have helped shape me, you know, to who I am today.
Oh, well, good. Thank you. Well, let's dive right in. City Council recently okayed 3 new subdivisions in Pueblo. What can you tell us about those and the future of other subdivisions in the area?
So in researching all of the different kind of residential development in the coming years, one thing that I hear all the time from community members is, you know, asking the question, why hasn't Pueblo grown? And I think that City Council approving these 3 new subdivisions is a step in the right direction of making an intentional effort to grow responsibly. And then what I hear all the time from, you know, large employers and, you know, kind of, like big industries in town is the one thing that we need here is workforce. And the one thing for our barriers for our workforce is lack of residential properties. So that also kind of feeds hand in hand with that. I think that these 3 upcoming developments are going to help Pueblo have a stronger workforce with more people in the workforce and help Pueblo grow responsibly. I think that that's been a really important adjective in there too. So I know that one of the developments is planned for my district 3, which is the south side of Pueblo. It's going to be kind of on the south side of near kind of El Camino area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I really want to listen to community members to make that development work for the people that already live there as well.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that I'm sure that's one thing that people think of. Oh no, the traffic is going to be crazy and so on, all the things that come with that. But the responsible growth, I think, is very important, like you were saying.
Yeah, and I also think it's important to the people who already live there, who live, work, and play in that neighborhood too, because they're really the experts in that neighborhood and in that community. So I really, really want to make an intentional effort to engage with them and have an open dialogue about, okay, where can we funnel traffic into? What kind of streets need to be amped up in preparation for this development? What do you want that to look like? How can we make it sustainable for you all too, so that way you all are happy when this development goes up. So that's really important to me moving forward.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, recently, and this happened right around the last part of December, early January, the Posada purchased the Sunset Motel on Lake Avenue. And I'm not sure if that is in your district or just a little outside of your district, but it was designed to be a purchase for homeless and low-income folks who are 55 and older. What is City Council doing to kind of take another step to help Pueblo's homeless?
So a couple of things. In years past of City Council, and I think it was developed about 2 years ago, the city and the county did a joint venture to establish the Commission on Housing and Homelessness. And that commission is really tasked with creating systems to kind of not only prevent homelessness, but also help people who are experiencing homelessness when it happens. So they have a couple of different things that they're tangibly working on, one of which was getting the new ownership and the construction, the new infrastructure of the current homeless shelter. Another one is looking at like vacant properties to see how they could be possibly repurposed or just to take an inventory of them. And so I will be appointed to chair that Housing and Homeless Commission in the near future. Yeah. So I'm excited to really, dive into that. I think that so many of of the people who are experiencing homelessness also struggle with behavioral health issues. So whether that's substance use or mental illness. So I'm excited to see what we can do to provide those wraparound services for those who are experiencing homelessness. But I know that for this past year, the city and the county have done a great job at pulling different agencies like Posada, like the homeless shelter, even CASA and the YWCA, who provide some sort of temporary housing to people, to kind of all get on the same page and make a coordinated effort to really help the systems of homelessness. So that's one thing that we're doing. And I think that that's worked out well. The other thing that I think was just kind of started in the last quarter or two is that the city has started actually paying clients of the homeless shelter like stipends if they go out and they perform work for code enforcement. So someone who is experiencing homelessness and is a resident of the homeless shelter can actually get paid to help clean up a park and pick up trash and pull weeds. So it's not only helping the city beautify and helping our code enforcement, but it's also helping those who are experiencing homelessness to start a bank account and learn fiduciary responsibility and things like that. So that's one thing that I'd like to see continued in the next quarter as well.
Oh, that sounds like a perfect program. That takes care of a couple of problems. So the last couple of years, as you know, have been pretty difficult working for the health department. You, I'm sure, have been on the inside with the whole COVID situation. How is Pueblo's COVID situation compared to other cities of our size?
I look at the numbers every day, or at least every week. We have a presentation about the positivity rate and outbreaks and things like that. Pueblo right now is trending very similarly to other communities our same size, just because of the new Omicron variant. I think that Pueblo is very, very similar. I will say that a couple of weeks ago, on a call that I was on, I know that there's a county up north, I think in Eagle County, who had, it was near 35% positivity rate. That means 3 in 10 people are testing positive for COVID. Wow. So wow. Pueblo is beneath that substantially. That said, our cases have increased, as has every other community in the state of Colorado. So I think that Pueblo continues to do its part around COVID mitigation and prevention of spreading the disease and things like that. So I think that we've done a good job, and I know that those at the health department are working tirelessly to perform case investigations and to do that outreach and things like that. Even recently, in the last 48 hours, I know that the health department officials have coordinated with the distribution of the K95 masks that the governor instituted. So now there's actually you can, if you go to a public library, you can actually get a few K95 masks. I know that they're working tirelessly and trying to coordinate as much as possible with the pandemic.
Okay. Yeah, that's got to help if we can get more masks out there and get more people vaccinated. Absolutely. Well, it's been a tough 2 years, but Pueblo always seems to strive and work toward the future. And one thing I'm excited about is the Gateway to the Southwest project, which is wrapping up on the north end of Pueblo.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing structures or art that they have there.
Yes. Recently, my family and I actually just passed that, and I was telling them, there's going to be a second pillar here going up shortly because they're going to really kind of put the final touches on finishing out the gateway. And it's going to be like a very substantial and visual way to welcome to Pueblo. So I think it should be a really cool, unique, and also a culturally responsive way to say, hey, welcome to Pueblo. We hope that you stay for a lunch or a dinner or overnight as you travel through us.
Right. And I know the kind of what they're trying, the target of what they're trying to do is becoming a destination rather than just Pueblo. We're just going to drive through Pueblo and go to Albuquerque or something like that, but really making it a destination city. How do we do that? How do we get the word out?
There's so many different initiatives that are going on right now. You know, I actually am in the current cohort for Leadership Pueblo, which is facilitated by the Greater Chamber. And today, actually, we just spent the day talking about the future of Pueblo, weirdly enough, and learned about all of the different initiatives that are working to promote Pueblo, like Choose Pueblo and Pueblo Shares, which is kind of like a local supporting business effort that's like an e-commerce shop, and Visit Pueblo, which is implemented by the Greater Chamber. And I think that there's all of these different initiatives that have just kind of taken off over the last couple of years, and it's going to take time. And what I think what I've learned over the course of the campaign is that it's not necessarily outsiders who maintain a bad rap of Pueblo, but I think a lot of people here who are who are born and bred in Pueblo and who live here a long time, we are the ones who kind of perpetuate that negative stereotype about our town. Mm. And so I think one of the ways to combat that is being really proud of the town that you grew up in. You know, after I graduated from high school, I couldn't wait to move, you know, get out of Pueblo, move away from here because of X, Y, or Z reason. You know, it was kind of expected. And I think looking back on that, I think it was a lot of my own kind of struggle with my hometown and things like that. And if I were to go back and tell myself, hey, Sarah, it's a fantastic community. It's affordable to live. You can get anywhere in 10 minutes. We have a great restaurant scene. It's going to improve. I think that I would have changed my mindset in high school. So I think one way that we can kind of champion tourism is even just people who live here, if we can start changing the narrative, oh, well, why did you come to Pueblo? To, yeah, you came to Pueblo because we have a great restaurant scene, or because we have access to water and things like that. I think that would help.
Absolutely. And I know you're just sort of getting your feet wet with your new position. So some of these questions may not be extremely fair for you. I apologize for that. But future plans for Pueblo, as you mentioned earlier, hey, we need new business. We need new industry to Pueblo. How do we do that? How do we attract new business and industry? And I know that we have a lot of things in place that are working on that. Are you becoming aware of some of the things that we might be doing and looking forward to in the future?
Oh, yeah, Dave, I already have a plan. One of the things that I've heard is one of the barriers for entering into the workforce is working families do not have access to affordable childcare. And so you have working families, new parents, grandparents, whatever that may be, guardians. You have working families who are choosing not to enter the workforce because they literally can't find reliable and affordable childcare, which is an economic development issue. It's a workforce issue. And actually, it was actually found in a recent study by PEDCO as well. So I hear this anecdotally. I see it in the studies. So that's one thing that I really hope to champion on city council is increasing access to affordable and quality childcare. So I have a couple of ways to do that. And one that I hope to, I'm already working with the mayor's office and the planning department to create an ordinance. So that way childcare providers are kind of streamlined through the zoning process. So that way providers don't have a barrier to opening up a childcare home or center so we can get more slots for childcare. So that's one way I hope to really impact that economic development and getting people back to work.
When you think about growing a city, sometimes you just kind of forget about the fact that the workers will have children and need to have that ability to find affordable childcare.
And I think it was also kind of highlighted in the pandemic, you know, when at the very beginning, when the pandemic happened and childcare homes and centers and programs kind of shut down, people would take time off work because they had to stay at home with their kids and there wasn't a remote option offered yet. And so there was this struggle of working families who were like, oh gosh, what do I do with my kids now? Or, you know, or the school would have to quarantine them. And so they were home home from school the whole day. So I think it shined a spotlight on the need for accessible and affordable childcare here in Pueblo. And I hope to work on that in the next quarter.
Sure. Absolutely. And it's, you know, with this type of growth, there's obviously not one magic bullet, but it's like multiple facets to try and get this moving forward, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, childcare is just kind of a piece of the puzzle. There's so many other things that attract businesses and attract growth and development as well, like the cost of real estate and school districts and gosh, how close it is to the rail yard, that so that way my business can import things from the the train yards and train systems and things like that. So I think within the span of city council control, one thing that we can control on city council would be increasing access to childcare. And of course, helping small businesses kind of recover. There's so much money right now offered through the state and federally that I really hope to also champion on city council for small businesses, so that way we can continue to support local and small businesses as we recover from COVID.
Oh, very good. Well, Sarah, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that maybe I haven't hit on as far as your new career as a city council person?
You know, I think people often ask me, like, how are you feeling now that you're on a city council? And the one feeling that I always go back to is I'm just tremendously humbled that I'm here. I'm humbled that so many people supported me throughout campaigning. I'm humbled that I have support now. I'm humbled that I get the chance to improve Pueblo and make it a better place to live, so that way other young Puebloans like me can thrive in a city. So I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity. And I want to thank those that supported me and will continue to help me. And I'm so grateful.
Oh, very good. Well, we're excited about your future in city government.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I have a kind of a personality question here for you, a fun question.
Okay.
What comes on your perfect pizza?
Cream cheese, for sure. Cream cheese. Yep, like dollops of cream cheese.
Oh, really? No kidding. Yeah. Cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yeah.
I would not have thought of that.
I know. It sounds preposterous, but I promise you. So there was a very cool pizza place when I did my college degree in CSU Fort Collins. They were famous for their cream cheese pizza. So it's literally like a red sauce pizza with like literal scoops, like the size of a golf ball of cream cheese, like in, you know, various places on the pizza. Wow. Covered with cheese. It's the best pizza and is the best pizza I will probably ever have in my life.
Oh my gosh. Very good. Well, yeah. I've been talking with Sarah Martinez, a new Pueblo City Council person. Thank you very much for spending time with us, Sarah. It was great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
That's Pueblo's podcast. I'm Dave Moore. Be proud, Pueblo.